The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Beautiful Game, brought to you by Dan Taylor, Pete Gaskell, and myself, Kyle West. It's been an eventful week. Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane were confirmed as the new management duo for the Republic of Ireland national team.
Lol.
Meanwhile, John Hudson has quit his position as Wales assistant coach, leaving the rest of the country hoping that Chris Coleman will soon do the same. Oh, and Ashley Young has been caught diving again. That's a shocker. One question, gentlemen. If you could just remind me who won the South Wales Derby on Sunday.
It's a tricky one. It's all set my mind.
Newport.
give them a couple of years, they'll be up there.
Goal of the week.
Start with you, Pete, as we haven't heard from you for a couple of weeks. What was your goal of the week last weekend?
Has to be Begovic, doesn't it? The 14-second wonder goal from his own area.
I was saying to Dan before the podcast, if Begovic hadn't scored that goal, I would have won 150 quid off my accumulator. I'm really offended that you chose that goal, actually.
I have to say as well, you can never say Stoke aren't a long ball side again after that.
I felt sorry for Borac. That's the only person I felt sorry for.
He's a good goalie, isn't he, man?
Yeah.
Well, that was it. That was the worst part as well. I got two Southampton defenders and Boric in my fantasy team. One fluke goal after like 13 seconds, whatever it was, stopped me from getting any clean sheet bonuses. Dan, your goal of the week.
I hate to be a bit harsh to go for Begovic. I just felt sorry for him the whole way through. That, and you know, even though he did become Stoke's top scorer, I went for Arsenal's Aaron Ramsey.
Game of the week.
Man United against Arsenal this Sunday. It's it's a 4 o'clock kickoff. Available on Sky 3D. United have they put together a good set of results in the league recently, haven't they? Are things starting to settle down there, or are these results just sort of papering over the cracks right now?
I think to some extent you do have to talk about the opposition. I mean, yeah, I've had a nice and easy run for a while now, but you know, wins are wins, aren't they? I mean, across all competitions, it's 7 games unbeaten now, and that can't be sniffed at. Wins are wins, and you know, if you can beat teams, it's always a plus, isn't it? So.
Are you happy with how they're playing, Pete?
Not really. I'm happy with the result, put it that way. There's a long way to go before we can, look at, beating Arsenal. Oh, that's my worry coming into this match. I don't think we're ready.
That's ironic, because my next question, which is for you, Dan, which is, has this game come too soon for David Moyes and sort of Man United?
It's difficult to say, because obviously, Chelsea did quite convincingly beat Arsenal in the League Cup. However, they didn't look like they had just suffered a defeat against Liverpool. You know, when they were playing Liverpool, they were playing with confidence and, they dominated the game. Whereas I don't think I could say the same in Man United's last two results in the league, both in the Stoke game and in the Fulham game. I think there was actually only really small pockets where they played consistently brilliant football. In the Stoke game, it was literally within the last 10 minutes. The Fulham game, it's almost the opposite. It was the first 20 minutes. And, they didn't really look like they put a consistent 90 minutes together. Whereas you look at, Man City's results against Norwich, a 90 minute 7-0, wonder game, as it were. You know, really, Fulham and Norwich are currently kind of on even pegging in terms of what they can do. So, really, should Man United have put more goals away against Fulham? I don't know.
I think in that case, if we're after 20 minutes, there's a sort of coasting element comes in. I think City does need to put the hammer down because they needed to, I think. But I think I'm less bothered about the Fulham result, personally.
Arsenal did have a great result against Liverpool. They're 5 points clear now in the league, just ahead of Chelsea and Liverpool and Tottenham. Can we finally start thinking about them as title contenders? I think it was last week or week before, Dan said he didn't think we could, but
as every week rolls by, you have to start thinking more about it, don't you? It's natural. They are at the top of the week. I think we all had our goals. If you top at Christmas, then you have a real good chance, don't you? So we'll see over the next month. But I mean, you have to start thinking about it if you can keep up this, and particularly if you beat United at the weekend. You have to start thinking then. They could go all the way.
We're just chatting about Aaron Ramsey, weren't we? Just now, he doesn't seem to be taking his foot off the pedal at all. How much of Arsenal's good form is actually down to him? We talk about the effect Mesut Ozil was going to have coming in, but are we sort of overlooking Aaron Ramsey? Has he been the linchpin of the side?
Yeah, I think he has. I think, yes, Ozil has come in and he brought the flair, but ultimately Aaron Ramsey has been consistently good. You know, even in the Villa game, there were spells where he looked, you know, a better player than he did last, you know, this time last year. And, you know, he's been consistently fantastic since then. You know, he scored goals, created chances, made tackles. You know, he's literally been, you know, all over the pitch. The only worry, obviously, is wearing him out, which I think at the moment Wenger is aware of. He's using him, not sparingly, but I don't think he's started every game.
No, he hasn't. He's so far, hasn't he?
Yeah,
Then he's come on and scored.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. He's been given ultimately time to have a bit of a rest, and you know, it's not like he's, you know, starting him, you know, game in, game out, and you know, wearing him out so by Christmas he'll, you know, have lost, you know, all energy, and you know, we'll see a dip in his form. I don't think that's going to happen at all. Wenger's almost treating him with kid gloves slightly, and you know, he's trying to extend his form for as long as possible.
How much would you say Aaron Ramsey would go for right now if they sold him?
As he's playing at the moment. I say, well, considering Fellaini's worth 25 million, I say he'd go for about 30, 35.
That's incredible, isn't it? Because I reckon someone could have bought him for 6 million in the summer if they'd wanted to.
It's value is skyrocketed, yeah, this year.
If Arsenal do win this game, obviously United will be 11 points off top spot. Would that be game over for him as far as defending the title goes?
Quite possibly.
You'd say so. I think it's less how far behind Arsenal, how far behind the chasing pack is what you have to take into account. Because, yes, we're 8 points behind Arsenal, but how far are we behind Chelsea, City, etc.? Only three points.
3 points,
yeah. So that's quite tight. So that could be, that could stretch to say six, which isn't that massive. And if Arsenal do end up collapsing at some point, 6 points can be hauled back. Depends how far Bram chasing pack is, really. That concerns me more.
Let's get some score predictions then. We'll start with you, Dan. What have you gone for in this game?
I originally went 2-2, but I'm now starting to change my mind, and I'm actually going to go for Man United 1, Arsenal 2.
You've gone for the same as me now. 2-1 as well. God damn.
You've seen it. Every single bone in my body is saying Arsenal will win, except my heart. So, you know, I'm going to say one each.
Question, Pete. Was it a dive from Ashley Young against Real Sociedad?
Yes. Oh yes, it was.
Team of the week.
Begovic.
Is that for his goal scoring prowess?
It is indeed.
And
he played solid as well. Defence, I'd go with Stephen Colker of Cardiff.
Yeah.
Say match winner and also very solid as well. As Cardiff were overall, I have to admit. Another player if you're also of the Newcastle persuasion, I was surprised to say this, but Mattia Debussy.
Played
well against Chelsea.
Well, two games on the trot, really, actually, he's played well.
The other two are both from the same team, they're both from Tottenham. Vertonghen, who's an underrated defender in my view, and the new signing, Fouad Chemiches, who's really settled in well in the centre of defence.
Ramsey quite easily made it into the centre of midfield. Yaya Toure joins him, and it's actually another Arsenal and another Man City player. The others were Cazorla and David Silva. My attackers, I was a bit unsure with. Ultimately went with Aguero first. He showed his goal-scoring capabilities against Norwich, even if it was Norwich he was playing against. And I wasn't sure whether to go to Rooney, but I end up, in the end, going for Remy. After watching the highlights of the Newcastle game, I thought he offered more and caused more trouble in the full 90 minutes than Wayne Rooney did.
Other top games.
Tottenham face Newcastle. I think it's a 12 o'clock kick-off on Sunday. It's part of a Sky Sports triple bill. I seem to be plugging Sky Sports a lot on this show. Can guarantee I'm not getting paid anything from them.
However, if they would like to send us free subscriptions, they can do. My address is the following.
Spurs have scored less than, I think on average now, they've scored less than a goal per game now. With all the money they've spent, Pete, why aren't they scoring goals?
I don't know. I think it's something we've noticed all season. We just haven't seemed to gel going forward, have they? I think some of it's because he's been chopping and changing a bit in terms of the midfield. I mean, the midfield's been different each game, or at least it seems it has. I don't think Soldado's fully settled, and they're reliant on him really to put the ball back in the net. So I think it's a mixture of him not really gelling yet, and the midfield chopping and changing all the time so they don't get any stability. That's what I think.
I vaguely remember this being an AVB problem with Chelsea, that he was chopping and changing the side too much. I think Pete's right. Ultimately, the problem is that he's not even decided on a starting 11 yet. You know, he's got his back five, as it were. But after that, you know, he's not quite sure. And he's got players like Eriksen, who really is the top draw in terms of what they've got to offer. And he doesn't seem to be starting. Eriksen has proven what he can do. and he's not been able to, you know, iron out a get his foot.
Some of it like the Vivo Puerto Rico as well, obviously, but you know, he's rotating to sort of cater for everything, and sometimes you just have to make a decision.
But I mean, they're on 20 points, so they're only 5 points off top spot.
Is the defence the best in the league?
No, not. They conceded five goals.
Yes, Southampton have only conceded four, haven't they, I think?
Yeah. Was AVB right to let Lloris play on after he got knocked unconscious by Lukaku?
Well, ultimately, it wasn't his decision. It, you know, ultimately, the medical staff said he was all right, and you know, Lloris said he wanted to play. But the argument, obviously, is that it shouldn't be down to the player. The player shouldn't say, oh, yeah, you know, because they're always going to say, yeah, no, I want to play on. But ultimately, the responsibility lied with the Spurs medical staff to say, no, you ultimately could be concussed. You can't carry on. So I wouldn't blame ABB, no. I would ultimately blame the medical staff. But, you know, thank God on this occasion, you know, he was fine. But you never know.
Huge win for Newcastle. Where did that come from for him? Where has that been?
I think Chelsea were very subdued. Yeah, I have to say, as impressed as I was in Newcastle in the second half, in particular, the first half was dull as dishwater, but you know, in the second half, Chelsea just didn't seem to turn up. And you could see Newcastle growing in confidence as the match went on. I think we might be able to snatch something from this. I mean, yeah, we can. Obviously, we got the first and hung on for a bit. I thought, yeah, let's kill it. And we obviously got the second late on.
Did it go to show, Dan, that because Ben Arthur was an unused substitute, does it go to show that maybe Ben Arthur is not the be-all and end-all of this Newcastle team?
I've said that before. You know, we shout and scream every time he scores. But ultimately, you know, I watch him and he's selfish. You know, he wastes opportunities. He tries to, he gets past one and then he's got to go past another two before he'll at least do anything with the ball. It doesn't make us a weaker side, but I don't think he particularly makes us a better side.
He's, you know, he's very similar to in the sort of effect that he has on, maybe not even actually as good, Kieran Dyer, when Kieran Dyer was at Newcastle, because, you know, Dyer had that pace, went past people.
I think Dyer was a better player, though.
Yeah, I think he probably was, actually. But like Dyer had that sort of selfishness a little bit about him as well, you know. A little lazy. Ben Arthur doesn't track back for nothing. I think that's one reason he didn't play against Chelsea. Pete, if Cisse doesn't start bloody finding some form, or... I mean, he can't even control the ball anymore. He seems to knock it out of touch, you know. Does Pardew need to get a shot of him?
I say only if he has someone else lined up, because if anything happens to Benny, you do sort of need Cisse, because... Despite this, he's still better than Shaw Ramiobi, at least in my view.
It was a fluke. I didn't want to say it for so long, but it has to have been a fluke what happened when he arrived. Because it's not like he's suffered a horrific injury or anything, you know, that's ruined his career. Just for some reason, he's just decided he doesn't want to do jack shit.
He hasn't scored in the league this year. He's only scored one goal, which came in the Capital One Cup against Leeds. He's only scored against a Championship team.
Yeah,
and even that,
yeah.
I think, was it like a header from 6 yard?
Yeah, I would much rather see Gouffran given chances ahead of him, because I think Gouffran is a better player.
He's a workhorse as well, isn't he?
He works incredibly hard. Yeah, I would say get shot, but then who's going to want to buy him?
Let's get some score predictions then. We'll start with you, Pete.
I've gone for a 0-0 draw.
Being hopeful as possible, so I've gone for a 1-0 Newcastle win.
Yeah. Norwich against West Ham is the other game we're going to talk about this week's show, very quickly almost.
There's not a lot to say about either side.
We're going to talk about Norwich for about as long as they put up a fight against Man City on the weekend. Pete, they got battered. Are you surprised they've kept faith with Chris Hughton after that defeat?
I think it was, in some ways, it's a bit of a freak result, wasn't it? Losing 7-0. If you lost 7-0 again, then, you know, then we start to grasp. But I think we give him a little bit of freedom considering it is City away. I think the problem is if he starts all used to, you know, teams like West Ham, teams around them, on a consistent basis, that's when questions need to be asked, I think.
It's a real shame for their goal difference, actually, that. And I'm sure they're not going to be the only team to go to the Etihad and get battered. But, I mean, they were on a -7 goal difference before, which was still pretty decent, you know. Now they're on -14. They're right there with, you know, only Sunderland Palace are worse, only by one goal. That already is a goal difference. And you know, goal difference makes a difference.
It's as much as a point, isn't it?
Talking about West Ham, can they carry on much longer without a main striker? You know, is it? And ultimately, Pete, is it going to affect Big Sam's job in the long run?
I don't think so. I think the board seem quite patient at West Ham. I think we're fairly happy with how he seems to be getting on. I mean, they've produced some good results, haven't they?
Well, away from home, they've only actually conceded one goal, which is they had three draws.
It's a great performance against Tottenham a few weeks ago, which registered quite highly. But I think it's not bad luck than anything else, isn't it? With Cowell's injury, etc. How long's Cowell out for? I know he's now got a stomach infection or something, hasn't he?
Yeah,
which has slowed him down a bit longer.
It's probably been washing down one too many pints while he's been on the sidelines. That's probably
they do clearly miss him, don't they? They do definitely miss him. He's a centre forward they've been whacking all season, but I think we can still pick up good points against teams around them just because of their work ethic, etc. And I say 2-1 West Ham.
I've gone for a goal of straw, 0-0.
Gone for a 1-0 win to West Ham.
Speed predictions.
Dan, I'll do yours first. Aston Villa against Cardiff.
Cardiff 1, Villa 0.
Chelsea against West Brom.
Chelsea 2, West Brom 0.
Palace against Everton.
Palace 0, Everton 2.
Crying out loud. Liverpool versus Fulham.
Liverpool 3, Fulham 1. It's exactly what you've got.
apart from the Cardiff one, yeah. Southampton against Hull.
But I've just missed this game completely. When's this on? Southampton versus who?
Hull.
Hull. Okay, let's go Southampton 2, Hull 1.
Sunderland versus Man City.
Sunderland 0, Man City 4.
And Swansea against Stoke.
Swansea 1, Stoke 1.
Pete, Villa against Cardiff.
1 each.
Chelsea against West Brom.
2-1, Chelsea.
Palace against Everton.
2-0.
We're slowly losing control. Liverpool against Fulham.
3-0 Liverpool.
Southampton against.
I tried pulling myself away from the situation. I calmed myself down. I put my headphones back on. I'm just still laughing.
It's because I can hear a snickering in the fucking background. Southampton against Hull.
1-0 Southampton.
Fuck's sake. Sunderland against Man City.
3-0 City.
And Swansea against Stoke.
2-1 Swansea.
I'm so pissed off. These predictions. I've gone 2-0 for Cardiff against Villa. I've echoed Dan and gone 2-0 Chelsea West Brom. We've all gone 2-0 with Palace against Everton. I've also gone 3-1 Liverpool against Fulham. Southampton 1, Hull 0. Gone for Man City 3, Sunderland 0. And a 1-1 draw, just like Dan, for Swansea Stoke. So the chances of catching up with Dan this week are pretty slim, seeing as we've got the same fucking score predictions for all of the games.
Score prediction league roundup.
Pete didn't make any predictions last week, so they count as 10 incorrect.
It's not much different if I had, to be honest, but there you go.
Yeah, how many did you actually get right?
I can't remember, not many.
Dan, your lead's dropped to 15 points, so you're still a hefty distance away, and you're on 83, and I'm chasing you on 68, and Pete's score is 56. Right, Dan, who's your hero for the last weekend?
I would go for Cardiff's captain, Stephen Colker.
Good choice. Very good choice, mate. Pete?
I'm tempted to go for a better reach. But I've decided to actually.
Yeah, well, Pete, you've gone from hating Stoke to pretty much jerking him off.
No.
Is something going on with you and Begovic?
Have you got a poster of Begovic?
It's more because I have him for a goal of a week, and I see how much it pissed you off. I've decided to incorporate Begovic as often as possible from now on. He's also a villain of a week. No, I've gone. Well, you will like a goal of a week because I've also picked a Cardiff player. But I picked Gary Medel.
Ah, yeah.
In the centre of his.
Yeah, good
choice. He's a phenomenal player.
Villains, Pete.
Both Sunderland's red cards. Weak Catamol and Andrea De Sena, particularly De Sena, because that was just vile.
Nasty tackle. I wish they could bump the ban up as well, you know, on ones like that. Quite incredible they had two players sent off in injury time. First half, and then didn't concede a goal after that.
I really wanted to see Sunderland get the game cancelled because they had too many players sent off. That would just sum up Sunderland's season so far. I went for Sasha Rifa because that was hideous what he did to poor old Yanazine.
More hideous was it that smile on his face when he was wearing that Man United shirt at the end of the game. Any final words today, gentlemen? I'm going to guess not then. Brilliant.
I'm trying to wait for something like inspired to come to me, and it's just not happening.
It's never going to.
Dan, you've been waiting a long fucking time, mate. Thank you very much for listening. You can obviously find us through our Twitter feeds or our Facebook page, or on thecompassnet.com. We're also available on iTunes. If you just search for The Beautiful Game in the iTunes store, you'll find a wonderful photo of us. And all of our recent episodes. Thank you very much, and we'll see you in 2 weeks, because there's no Premiership action next weekend. Bye.
The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.